Welcome to the Hour of Hope. I'm your host, Pastor Matthew Broman. I hope you are having a great day. We're here on Sundays, and you could go to the website, apradio.org, and check out more. I wanted to start something new as we kick off the program. This is the program focuses on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. And I'm the pastor of Safe Harbor Church in Akitan, Alaska. You can email me at mathewvasinvictorroman@gmail.com. Well, there's a website that I happened to come across. It's a WordPress website, Danny Dodd. And I thought what I would do every week, I would give you a joke to start the week program off, because people like to laugh, right? Don't we all love to laugh? Here is one. The Lost Preacher. This comes from DannyDodd.wordpress.com. Okay, a young preacher was contacted by the local funeral director to hold a graveside service at a small cemetery for someone with no family or friends. The preacher started early, but got himself lost, making several wrong turns along the way. He arrived a half hour late. The hearse was nowhere in sight, and the workmen were eating lunch. The preacher went to the graveside and saw the vault already in the place. Taking out his Bible, he conducted the service. As he was returning to his car, he overheard one of the workmen say, "Do you think we should tell him it's a septic tank?" That was all right. Let me give you another one. Goat for dinner. Goat for dinner. You like goats? Here we go. A young couple invited their elderly preacher for Sunday dinner. While they were in the kitchen preparing the meal, the minister asked their son what they were having. "Goat," a little boy replied. "Goat," replied the startled man of the cloth. "Are you sure about that?" "Yep," said the youngster. "I heard Dad say to Mom, today is just as good as any to have that old goat for dinner." And one more, money for the preacher. After the church service, the little boy told the preacher, "When I grow up, I'm going to give you some money." "Well, thank you," the preacher replied, "but why?" "Because my daddy said you're one of the poorest preachers we've ever seen." Welcome to Hour of Hope, and let's continue with wonderful banjo music.
Have a home prepared where the saints abide. Over in the glory land, she's over in the glory land. I'll join the happy angel band. Over in the glory land, she's over in the glory land. There with the mighty host I stand. Over in the glory land. Over in the glory land, just over in the glory land.
Now join the happy angel band
over in the glory land.
His star over in the glory land.
There with the mighty host I stand over in the glory land.
One more time. Hey! death takes me down and I breathe here no more. His anthem sound on that eternal shore, and I join with the angels in heaven on high, singing praise the Lord, He is alive.
That was David Crowder doing I'll Fly Away. I saw the light. I'll Fly Away. For that was the Brandenburger family. They were amazing. The banjo playing has always intrigued me. And I know some of you are not banjo players, but have no fear. Every week I pick a different theme. Today, for example, I picked primarily banjo music, Christian music. Next week it may be something entirely different, and I can guarantee you it will be. We're going to be in John chapter 11 as we look at one of the most incredible, awesome stories in the entire Bible. Think of what it was that you would say was the greatest moment in your life, the most amazing thing you ever saw. What would it be? Well, I saw aliens. Okay. This is much more definitively than seeing aliens. We're going to look at a couple individuals who are getting ready to have the most amazing experience ever with Jesus Christ. It's amazing. Let's continue, though, with a little more music first on Hour of Hope, the program that focuses on the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. First, let me pray. Lord, thank you again for this time to look at the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for all those that are listening. And I pray you'd bless them, encourage them. They think about, do they have that hope? Be with us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Of sin may rise. will hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. And when you feel the prayer will turn it, you know the fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Our faintest cry, answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right. Now let us have a little talk with Jesus. Let us tell him all about our troubles. He will hear our faintest cry, answer by and by. And when you feel a little prayer will turn in, know a little fire is burning. You will find a little talk with Jesus makes it right.
That song was Have a Little Talk with Jesus, and that was the Backwoods Bluegrass. I hope that you're having a great day, and that is so important. We should all have a little talk with Jesus. Talk to him about whatever is going through. You're stressed out, you're overwhelmed, you're happy, you're sad, you're on the peak of great things going on in your life, you're in the valley of despair. Have a little talk with Jesus, and he'll get you through, and you'll grow in that relationship and know that he is there for you. He is the one who's been through everything and more and came out on the other side victorious. He was tempted but never sinned. He faced death but rose from the dead. He's returning to judge the world. If you're just dying and you feel hopeless, there is no hope. There is no hope for tomorrow. Grab that key of hope. Get out of that cage and let's run to Jesus, the one who will always give us hope. Thank you. picking up in John chapter 11, verse 28. It's right in the big time of Lazarus has died. Martha has been talking to Jesus, makes a big confession of faith in 27. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She makes the confession of who he was, who he is. 28. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The master has come and called for thee. So Jesus says, hey, go get your sister. I want to talk to her privately, secretly. He doesn't want a big crowd. He wants to talk to her privately. You can imagine the emotions, and you're going to see it. As soon as she heard that, she rose quickly and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, Bethany, I'm adding Bethany, but was in the place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, She goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down his feet, saying unto him, before I read what she said, as soon as Mary, and this is not his mother again, this is a different Mary, as soon as Martha tells Mary, Jesus wants to talk to her, she gets up and she runs. Now the people that are there with them, comforting them, crying with them, assume she's going to the tomb where Lazarus is. He's in a kind of dugout, small cavern, maybe. It's not even really a cave. And a rock's over it, sealed up. And they're thinking she goes. So she comes and she runs to Jesus. And notice the first thing she does, she falls at his feet. That just shows submission. We saw her do that in the Gospel of Luke, where she sits at his feet listening to what he says. She doesn't come prideful. She comes, she falls down. Maybe she fell out of the emotional strain of seeing Jesus. And then she calls him Lord. She calls him Lord. This is before Jesus rises from the dead. He's going to die in a short time in this week. But she calls him Lord, and then she says, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. So two things. One, she had confidence in Jesus' ability to heal. Because she says if he'd been here, he was real sick, he wouldn't have died. But the other thing is, there's an assumption in there where she thinks, well, the timing would have been then. If you had just been here, it would have all worked out. And I think many times our faith in Christ, but sometimes it's really hard to deal with his timing. Because yes, and in fact, in verse 6, 2 days, he waited 2 days to come to make sure that Lazarus had died. And in our mind, that would be terrible. But God and Jesus as God, has a different view of time. You're going to see that. Then verse number 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, it's so emotional. She runs, she falls down. She's like, if you'd just been here. And he sees her weeping, came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Meaning he is emotionally moved. That's not like the gods that the pagans had, or many times the way they thought about God, but Jesus is different. He's emotional. Look at that. He's fully God, but he's fully man. He is not someone that doesn't weep with us when we're weeping. He's somebody that doesn't just say, oh, well, you need to trust me. No, he's very, it says in another place, he had compassion. He sees the true state, and you just see here, he's moved and said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. So he wants to know where Lazarus is. And they say, we'll show you where he lays. And then the smallest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. Jesus wept. Just like Mary, he is weeping. Picture Christ. Don't picture him as you do in the paintings. Think of a man he's just sobbing because he's so moved by this love Mary has for her sister, moved with the emotion of the moment. Not in a sinful way, but in a real way because she's never sinned. Verse number 37. Some of them said, could not this man... Oh, sorry, verse 36. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. So they see their reaction from Jesus. We were like, he really loved Lazarus. And then we say, and some of them, verse 37, said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? I don't know if that's a... to dig at him, or it's just a statement like, man, couldn't he have healed this guy? He's opening eyes, John 9. Couldn't he have done it? Jesus, therefore, again, groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon him. Again, I want to be specific. I don't believe it was a deep cave. Yeah, it was small. These aren't like super deep. He's not going to have to go down a big tunnel when you put him. It's just at the front, and there's a stone on it. Let's go on. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him. So he comes to the tomb. Lazarus then there 4 days to make sure because they thought 3 days, a spirit can still hover by the body, but the fourth day, he's definitely dead. So he's definitely dead. So he tells, move that stone away. To which Martha says, very true. She says, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he has been dead 4 days. He's going to smell bad. Jesus saith unto her, should I not say unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou should seeth the glory of God? Boom. He says, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God, the power of God, the presence of God? Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about him being the very glory of God. And he says, you're going to not just hear about it, you're going to see it through me. Well, let's go on and see what happens. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of this of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice. He prays, and he tells you exactly why he is doing this, so they can truly see and believe in him. He says, you always hear me, we've got this relationship, I'm God the Son, you're God the Father, so that they believe. And then he screams out, Lazarus, he cried with a loud voice. I don't think screamed out, Lazarus, come forth. He gives the command to the dead. Who is the only person that can tell a dead person to get up? Jesus Christ. Death is the most powerful thing here. I asked a friend this week, I said, what's something everybody's scared of? And he said, death. And that's probably true. I said, there's people who avoid it, so I don't have to think about it, but yeah. And he says, Lazarus, he knows his name, come forth. And then look at what happens. And he that was dead came forth. Can you imagine that? They're all watching and they hear him say, come forth. He prays and he says, come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So he comes forth. He's still got the grave clothes that he'd been wrapped in. What do you think you would think if you were sitting there? Ponder that for a minute. Would that be enough for you to believe in him? When we talk about what our confidence is in, it was more than just Jesus can heal. They need to understand Jesus is more than just a healer. He's the great, most powerful. He is God. And he cares. And he knows us by name. And he calls him forth. Can we trust him? Then, here's the result. Many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the thing which Jesus did, believed on him. Go figure. Yeah, they believed on him. But some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things that Jesus had done. Again, they didn't believe, some of them. They had to go report to the Pharisees. Even if a dead guy gets up, they still have to get Jesus. Verse 47. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council, and said, so the result is we got to get a meeting. What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him. Think about what he just said. There was enough evidence. They're determined not to believe. But in other words, what they're seeing with these miracles, they're like, everybody's going to believe. It's so convincing. And the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation. Why don't we serve the Lord? Why don't we believe? Because we want other things more than Christ. They wanted position. They wanted power. They said, everybody starts believing, the Romans are going to react. And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, you know nothing at all. So they're having this debate, and John wants us to hear what Caiaphas says. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe. Okay, you know nothing at all. Nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this speak he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. The high priest was the one that went in before God, the one that offered the sacrifice at the Day of Atonement, the blood on the mercy seat. And he says he had saw a vision, dream, whatever. He knows that this is to happen. But the key thing is he's going to die for the nation. And not only for the nation only, verse 52, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. So you just see the regathering of the nation of Israel. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. They're trying to figure out how to kill Jesus. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence unto a country near to the wilderness, into a sea called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand. They mentioned the Passover in 2:13, 11:55. And many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. So the Passover, when they remember them putting the blood on the doormat lintel, and then they would pass over, the angel of death would pass over. Then sought they for Jesus, and spake among themselves, as they stood in the temple, what think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees have given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should shew him, that they might take him. So we are, and then verse 12, chapter 12, verse 1, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. So we're 6 days out before Jesus is going to die on the cross. And they're looking to find him. It's surreal to think they have the evidence in front of them of who Jesus is, and they ultimately do not want to bend a knee because they love so much more than him. If we bend a knee, then they're going to persecute us. If they bend a knee, we're going to lose our power and our position and our prestige. We can't do that. Oh, it's terrible when we cling to those kind of things. John has laid out a powerful argument for Jesus. Now we're going to jump into chapter 12 next time. Be sure and read that. But let me ask you, have you believed in him? They said, if he's all these miracles, everybody's going to believe in him. There's enough for people to believe in him. Think about that. Let's go on with a little more music, and then let's come back and talk about it.
It's not just a story.
So there was a non-banjo song, but it really communicates that we believe in Jesus. And do you believe in Jesus? Did you catch, again, what he had told her? He says, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. If you believe, you'll see it. If you want to see, you got to believe. We live by great faith, not by sight. True faith is putting your belief, your trust in Jesus Christ. If you're listening, you'd like to get that kind of solidified, pray with me right now and tell the Lord, say, Lord, thank you for Jesus. I believe in him. Believe he has power to bring me back from the dead. I believe he has power to rise from the dead because he did. I believe he died on the cross for my sins, and I don't want to trust anything other than him. In Jesus' name, amen.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus. Declaring there is hope and there is freedom.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
I just wanna speak the name of Jesus over fear and all anxiety. To every soul held captive by depression, I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire.
Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains and Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name.
Within your presence, I speak Jesus.
Powerful name of Jesus Christ. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that a powerful, just that song, and it tells you how Jesus meets people where they really need the power of Jesus Christ. And we saw that today in the studying the Gospel of John, chapter 11, where we've left off at such a critical time where they're trying to kill him. They are looking for it. The word is out. If anybody sees him, we're going to arrest him and kill him. And that's just what's going to happen as we continue on through this gospel, is they're going to kill Jesus. They're going to arrest, torture him, and then he's going to rise from the dead on the third day. But there's so much more to, we've got chapter 12, 13, 14, we've got through chapter 21, and we just finished up chapter 11. So there's a whole lot more that's going to happen in the next few days in Jesus's life as recorded in the gospel of John. I'm glad you're with me. Reach out and give me a request if there's a song or a specific music, Christian music you'd like me to play. Let me know. My email is MATHEWV as in Victor, R-O-M-A-N @gmail.com. I'll send you a free Bible if you need a Bible. Whatever, any way to be a blessing. And if you're on Acatan, come out and visit our church, Safe Harbor Church, between the Village and Triton Plant. I hope you're having a good day. Remember, whatever you're going through, talk to Jesus about it. Remember, Martha and Mary both, they just had this conversation with Jesus. Let's have a little talk with Jesus. And it was just so, so powerful.
Let my song join.
as you think about talking with Jesus, you may think you have to use high flute and these and thous and all these. You have to speak to him like you're going into a super formal church. But we don't see that with Jesus. We see people coming in their emotion like Mary did, coming in the raw time of day. And it's like, come to him humbly. Make sure you believed in him. But you come to him and you talk to him and you share your heart. You say, Lord, I'm just struggling with this. Show me. And if you don't believe in him, ask him to reveal himself to you. Say, I want to know that Jesus that rose Lazarus from the dead. I do have a question. Who would you like to be in the story? Would you like to be Mary or Martha? We didn't see it. Martha's was more last week. She comes to him. The people watching this, or would you like to be Lazarus? Can you imagine if this was today? He'd be on all the talk shows. They'd be like, so tell us what it was like being dead. And just knowing that he literally was dead, there's no doubt. And then he rises from the dead. I hope you don't want to be the Pharisees or the people that went. And it'd be great, whoever it is. I know one person I'd want to be. I'd want to be the true believers in the story because I respond. It's real clear. He's like, do you believe? In fact, we didn't read it, but John chapter 11, verse number 25. Let me read this to you. Jesus said unto her, I'm the resurrection of the life. He's talking to Martha. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth thou this? He's saying, do you believe this? Do you believe that I have the ability? Notice he didn't say become religious. He says, believe in me and I will rise you from the dead. Your sin separates you. So we finish off with the powerful question is, do I believe in Jesus? In the way he talks about here, the powerful, 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 powerful Jesus, the one who rose from the dead.